quickly life can change. This time yesterday it was a wintry blank, and now not only have we met the Cottons, but there is a real hint of spring. From up here in the barn, I can see blackthorn buds on the hedges. Oh my goodness! They're here! The Cottons! They've just come round the last bend of the lane! They've gone past. There was no way I could warn Rose and Topaz. I couldn't have got out of the barn without being seen. Never did we dare to hope the Cottons would come this very day. I watched them pass through the hinge of the barn door, then scrambled up on the chaff again and watched until they disappeared into the gatehouse passage. I keep telling myself it is real. It really has happened. We know two men, and they like us. They must, or they wouldn't have come back so soon. I don't really want to write any more. I just want to lie here and think. Simon Cotton's black beard looks queerer than ever by daylight. Especially now I have realized that he isn't at all old. I should guess him to be under 30. He has nice teeth, and rather a nice mouth with a lot of shape to it. His eyebrows go up at the corners. Neil Cotton has such a charming face, though no particular feature is striking. Very nice hair, fairish, curly. They're both tall, Simon a bit the taller, Neil a bit the broader. They don't look like brothers, any more than they sounded. They're coming out of the castle. Something awful has happened. So awful that I can hardly bear to write it. Oh, how could they? How could they? As they came towards the barn, I heard them talking. Neil said, "Gosh, Simon, you're lucky to get away with your life." "Extraordinary, wasn't it?" said Simon. She didn't give that impression at all last night. Then he turned to look back at the castle and said, "What a wonderful place. But hellish uncomfortable, and they obviously haven't a cent. I suppose one can't blame the poor girl."
"One can blame her for being so darned obvious," said Neil. "And that ridiculous dress at this time of the day."
"Funny, I rather liked her in it last night." "The stepmother seems quite pleasant. She looked about as uncomfortable as I felt. My God, how that girl embarrassed me."
"We shall have to drop them, Simon. If we don't, she may put you in a very awkward position."
Simon said he supposed so. They were talking quietly, but it was so still that every word came to me clearly. As they passed the barn, Neil said, "Pity we didn't see the child again. She was a cute kid."
"A bit consciously naive, don't you think?" said Simon.
"I shall feel worst about dropping the old man. I'd rather hoped I could help him, but I don't suppose there's much one can do if he's a hopeless drunk."
"Oh, I could kill them! When Father doesn't get enough to eat, let alone any strong drink!" I didn't hear any more. I wished now that I'd rushed out and hit them. That would have shown them if I am consciously naive. What on earth did Rose do? I must go in.
8 o'clock in the drawing room. I have come in here to get away from Rose. She is drying her hair in the kitchen and manicuring her nails with a sharpened match, and she is talking, talking. I don't know how Topaz can stand it, knowing what she does know, for I couldn't keep it to myself. I couldn't bear to. Topaz wasn't even surprised. She said Rose had seen the Cottons coming from her bedroom window, and nothing would stop her changing into the tea gown. And she had behaved insanely, making a dead set at Simon Cotton.
"Do you mean she was too nice to him?"
"Not exactly. That mightn't have mattered so much. She was terribly affected. She kept challenging him. If she'd had a fan, she'd have tapped him with it and said, 'Fie, fie,' and she fluttered her eyelids."
"Oh, I could see it. Rose got it out of old books. We'd never known any modern women except Topaz, and Rose would never dream of copying her."
"They won't come back," said Topaz. "I'd have known that even if you hadn't overheard what they said." "I said we didn't want them, that they must be hateful people to talk like that, but Topaz said that was nonsense. Rose asked for it. Men don't really mind your showing you like them when you do, but they run a mile from obvious fascination. That's what it was, of course, all the challenging and head-tossing, and all directed at Simon in the crudest way. If Mortmain had been in, he might have chaffed her out of it. Anyway, he'd have talked to them himself. Oh, blast. Father had gone for a walk, the first he has taken for months. Topaz said Simon Cotton had brought him a book by a famous American critic because one of the essays in it dealt with Jacob Wrestling. I suppose Simon just might come back to talk to Mortmain, she said. But I knew better. It was beginning to get dark. There was a light down in the kitchen. We saw Rose pass the window. Shall we tell her? I said. Topaz thought not, unless we ever get asked to Scotney. If we do, we might try to kick some sense into her. We won't get asked.